Now turn to Prophet Isaiah, chapter 58. Isaiah 58. Let's hear the word of God to us this morning. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have you fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, you fast for strife, and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast, as you do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thy own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwelling. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The congregation, there's much confusion about the fourth commandment, not just in the world, but among Christians as well. And it's been my burden and also my duty to preach on Sabbath keeping today. Lord's Day 38 was on the horizon already for a while. And so, with God's help, I wish to obey and speak to you about the fourth commandment, one of the Ten Commandments, the moral law. Why keep it? People say, it's Old Testament. We live in the New Testament today. When keep it? Saturday, Sunday. How keep it? Is it a fast day or is it a feast day? Is it a burden? Or is it a delight? But to look at this fourth commandment, which by the way is the longest, most detailed commandment in the ten, it's both positive and negative, the only commandment that way. The only other positive is the fifth commandment, to honor your parents. All the other ones are framed negatively only. It's the only commandment that gives specific reasons, exhortation. I want to look at the commandment. I'll read it again, Exodus 20, verse 8 through 11. But I want to cover it, not just from the perspective of Lord 38, but particularly from Isaiah 58. So let me read then Exodus 20. Remember, we heard it this morning, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For, because, in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore? For that reason, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Read the Catechism, page 74, in the back of your Psalter, question 103. What does God require in the fourth commandment? First, that the ministry of the gospel and the schools be maintained. And that I, especially on the Sabbath, that's on the day of rest, diligently frequent the church of God, to hear His word, to use the sacraments, publicly to call on the Lord, and contribute to the relief of the poor as becomes a Christian. Thank you. Steve. As becomes a Christian. Secondly, that all the days of my life I cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by His Holy Spirit in me, and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. That's Lord's Day 38. Then a text, Isaiah 59, the last two verses. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor Him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob, thy father. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So we're called to keep Sabbath. We'll first look at the day, then the focus, and then third, the delight. First, the day. Children, I trust you know that the word Sabbath does not mean Saturday. It does not mean Sunday. It does not mean Lord's Day. It means rest. 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 That's what the word Sabbath means. So we're called to rest on the day. And really, it always was the Lord's day. The day of the Lord. We read it just a few moments ago. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day. In other words, the Lord's day is not just something Christians began at some point in time. It started from the very beginning, from creation. Every day is the Lord's, but 1 in 7 he set apart for himself as my day. It's pretty generous, actually. So we can work 6 and only 1 day, says, only 1 out of 7. So for many years it was celebrated and kept on the Saturday, although that name doesn't appear in the Old Testament or in the New, because it's a Gentile term. It's to worship Saturn. It has nothing to do with God. Same with the Sunday. It's to worship sun. Why the shift? Well, a couple things, and I cannot do everything right now. I hope in my class to show a few more specifics as we go through Scripture, Lord willing. But the first reason is also where we get into the second point, is the focus, Jesus himself. He is the rest, achiever, giver. On the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, his disciples were gathered. They didn't know that that day was going to be a special day. But they kept it ever since. Every time you read in the New Testament on the 8th day or on the 1st day, which is the same thing, they were gathered to break bread, to hear the word, and to pray, exactly what we read also in the Catechism. From that moment, the Christians met on the 1st day of the week. It's interesting to notice that also on the 1st day of the week, when they were gathered together, the Holy Spirit was poured upon all flesh. That Pentecost feast was an anticipation of the New Testament fulfillment of the Sabbath. I don't know if you would know the word Pentecost. Penta means 50. It's the 50th day after Passover. 7 times 7 plus 1. Already in anticipation of the New Testament celebration, they celebrated Sabbath day and Pentecost day one after the next, looking forward to that shift. But they could say he's risen, it is accomplished. Paul met when he went on his travels on Sabbath day in the synagogues. But soon, you'll read it through Acts, they started meeting on the 1st day of the week. Several examples in the book of Acts, we'll look at that later. 1 Corinthians 16, Paul exhorts the Christians to gather for the needy on the 1st day of the week. When they were already gathering and beginning to call it the Lord's Day. If you read about John the Apostle, when he was banished by the Emperor Domitian, he was sadly missing the opportunity to gather with the rest of the church. He was alone on Patmos on the Lord's Day. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. In other words, I can't be with you, but I'm with you in the Spirit, knowing that you're gathering to worship the Lord Jesus. The focus is on him, not just on what we do and how we call to worship him, but to remember what he has done and still is doing for us. As he calls himself the Lord of the Sabbath day, Matthew 12. So they continue what the Lord had commanded from the very beginning. In a new day. In a new way. So the fourth commandment begins, like none of the others, with the word remember. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Do not forget. Because that's the problem with Israel and the problem with us too. We are so forgetful. Remember. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Many consider that just to be for the Old Testament. Israel. As if the moral law consists only of 9 commandments. But 10. 4 on the first table, 6 on the second table, engraven in stone, not only spoken, but God carved it himself in 2 tables. I hear it every Sunday. All 10. We don't skip number 4. It's interesting how you not only find it in Exodus 20, but then if you read Exodus 34, children, you know what happened there? Moses was for a long time gone. He was on the mountain with God. 40 days and 40 nights. And people thought he had died. So they celebrated a wicked feast. The Lord told Moses about it, and Moses came down. What did Moses do? You remember what Moses did with these 10 commandments? He smashed them in pieces in anger. But did you know that in Exodus 34, God carved it in again? We read in Exodus 34, actually not again, but that's where we read how it's described. That Moses did not eat bread, he drank not water, and he wrote on the tables, and this is very important to remember, the words of the covenant. The 10 commandments, the words of the covenant, it's not just a law, it's a covenant. You don't read it in Exodus 20, but the Lord calls it not just a law of do's and don'ts, but a covenant. It's an agreement. And also then it says the 10 commandments. In the Hebrew, it actually says 10 words. That's why we have the word in Greek. When you read in the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, you read the word Decalogue. Deca means 10. Log means words. Often referred to then as the 10 words. So God says, I declared you my covenant. And in Deuteronomy 4, the Lord repeats it to the same words about the covenant to the generation as they're about to enter the promised land. It says again in Deuteronomy 4, verse 13, the 10 commandments, the 10 words, which he wrote on 2 tables of stone. So Israel knew this already way before God spoke it from Mount Sinai. It was something that God had already dealt with prior, because that's Exodus 20 and Exodus 16. Before God spoke from Mount Sinai, God told them about the manna. Children, you remember what happened? That was before he told them that they could not work on the Sabbath day. He says, I will rain manna from the skies, but what do I want you to do? I don't want you to collect anything on the seventh day. But I want you to collect a double portion on the sixth day. That was before they were told. No wonder God says, remember to keep the day holy. So God says, in Exodus 26 days you will labor, you do all your work, but the seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, in it thou shalt not do any work. So they not only had to remember that they had to keep that day holy, but also how. And why? The reason. In verse 11, for be Because in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Children, do you think God was tired after 6 days of hard work creating the earth? Of course not. Why does it say he rested? What does it mean to rest? What does the word Sabbath really mean? It's not resting because you're tired. That's now because of sin. It's added to the Sabbath keeping. Originally, Adam and Eve were never tired. God was never tired until they sinned. Until Adam and Eve sinned. What does then that mean that God rested? Well, he blessed the Sabbath. He set it apart for a special delight. Well, so you can do all your work, and Adam and Eve did work even before they sinned, but on that one day, I want you to join me in delighting what I've done. And delight not only what I've done, but in who I am. I want you to know me. And he hallowed it. He sanctified it. That means he set it apart for a special, delightful purpose. For rest. For joy. For delight. Remember, he says, I created you. You owe everything to me. What did God do in addition in Deuteronomy when he also said, remember? There he doesn't say, remember that I created you. In Deuteronomy, read 5 verse 15, remember, you were a servant in the land of Egypt. And the Lord your God brought you out through a mighty hand. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. So not just because I'm your creator, but also because I'm your redeemer. You ruined it, but I'll restore it. Including the Sabbath day. The point is, Jesus' words too were, remember me. I'm not only your Lord, but also your Savior. That's why the words of the Lord's Supper are so memorable. Do this in remembrance of me. On what day? On the Lord's day, to have the Lord's Supper. To celebrate and delight ourselves in the Lord our God, the purpose for which you were created. Brings to our second point. Although the focus has been the Lord Jesus already. The focus, dear congregation, of the entire Bible is Jesus. Every aspect of it. Even the Sabbath. That's why he could say, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. All the feast days had their fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll talk about it in class too, which ones ceased and which didn't. Focusing on the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, to take away the sin of the world. So indeed we must serve him. We must do all we can to serve the Lord. But our focus should be on what he did for us. And how we become like him. He says it's my meat to do my Father's will. It's my delight. It's my food to do the will of my Father. He says, do this in remembrance of me. Remember, I'm broken for you. I've shed my blood for you. Remember me. We're so forgetful. Forget. That's Israel's sin. It's our sin. We read in our text, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day. What in the world does that mean? Turning away your foot from the Sabbath, from my holy day. Well, if you would take the time to read through the entire book of Isaiah, you'll see that right from the very first chapter, God had an issue with them. Why were they in captivity? Well, one of the reasons was they didn't keep Sabbath. Not only in the one day every week, but even on the Sabbath of the land. They refused to lay the land fallow for a year on the seventh year. They kept planting it. God says, that's why you will go to captivity. God says, I'm angry with you for not keeping Sabbath. And I'm also angry with you for keeping Sabbath in the wrong way. Because now they're in captivity. Now they're starting to keep the Sabbath. But they're upset with God because God doesn't answer them. He said, now we're doing all this stuff. Now we're fasting. We're doing all that. And you're not listening. You don't accept us. Verse 3. Wherefore have you fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have you afflicted our soul, but thou takest no knowledge? And God says, I'll tell you why. You do it for selfish reasons. You don't care really about me, nor of your neighbor. Verse 4, behold, you fast for strife and debate, to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this, and make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? To make it all negative and bad and difficult, bow down your head as a bulrush, spread sackcloth and ashes. Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? God says, is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let your oppressed go free, and you break every yoke? Is it not to deal your bread to the hungry, that you bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, that thou hide not thyself from thy own flesh? So the Lord is upset with them. That's why in verse 1, it's just a repetition of what already has been said a couple times throughout this, from the very first chapter on. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. And the worst was not really all the things that they did wrong, but the neglect of Him. They did not really care for Him. They were not hungry and thirsty for the bread and the water of life. They were doing their own ways, finding their own pleasures, speaking their own words. You fast for strife, for debate, not love. Not love and delight in me and in your neighbor. That's where their hearts went. It's an affront to God. They're not only God's angry with them, they even have the audacity to be angry with God. God says, you know what I call an acceptable day? That you let your oppressed go free, that you feed the hungry, you clothe the poor, you trust. If you truly love me, you love them. So it's very clear that it's not just about attending church and doing all things and going through all these motions. They neglected it altogether before the captivity, and in the captivity they went back to those things because they had to. Not because they had a delight in it. Very clear. But the Lord makes it also very clear throughout this chapter and throughout this book that if they change their mind, if they repent of their sins and of their selfishness and their lack of being focused on God Himself for who He is and what He has done for them, it will turn around. It's not just a rebuke, it's also an encouragement. But he says, no matter how much you fast, or how strictly you keep all 10 of my laws, if you hold on to your sins, and if you don't really come for me, you won't be blessed. If you prefer all that over God Himself, you will not be blessed. This is the focus of coming to church. Lord, 38 says, what does God require in the fourth commandment? First, that the ministry of the gospel in the schools be maintained. And that I, especially on the Sabbath, that's the day of the Lord, the day of rest, diligently frequent the church of God. Our forefathers knew it. They didn't just begin that in the time of the Reformation. It didn't also begin with Constantine, the emperor, declaring the Sunday to be the day off. He did that for political reasons, because he knew that the Christians already did that for generations. But he wanted the slaves also to be able to partake of the Lord's Day services. Christianity began to grow in spite of all that went against it. We'll look at that later too. Diligently frequent the church of God, says in the Catechism. So the word diligently, that means of course with attention, with a readiness, with an eagerness, to not just come and sing and listen, but to hear God. To have a hunger for the word of God that is for God Himself. Frequent the church. It's not just attend. Frequent means as often as you can. As often as there's opportunity. So to rest is not just something passive, but also very active. It requires input. It requires energy. Some people think that, oh, the Lord said the Sabbath day is just to rest, so your body. Yes, your body too. But your soul first. Because if you have your soul rested, your body will be rested too. If your mind and your soul comes to a slow down and a standstill, it will benefit your body greatly. But if you just have a body rest and your mind keeps racing on with all kinds of things and all kinds of thoughts during the worship service, what benefit is there? The question is, what do you and I really believe when we sit down here every Sunday? What's happening? You see, it's about not only worship the Lord, but also fellowship. God condescends to us through Jesus Christ, through the Word spoken and written, to have fellowship with us. Companionship. Joy and delight. And that will flow out into loving service of God and of each other. It also says in the Catechism about the ministry of the gospel and the schools. Well, in many European cities, the Netherlands not only, but Germany and all these places, they had schools. France too had several hundred Christian schools before the Huguenots were persecuted to the death and fled the country. Several hundred Christian schools connected to the churches, all destroyed. So the purpose was not only to have schools and to teach them to read and to write and so forth, but to teach them about the Lord in a way that these children could understand on the Lord's Day and even on the days that they went to school. And of course, we have, of course, Sunday school and catechism class. We hear the Word of God being taught. But also the catechism goes on and speaks about the use of the sacraments, baptism and Lord's Supper, contribute to the relief of the poor when needed, as becomes a Christian, it says. But secondly, that all the days of my life I cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by His Holy Spirit in me, and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. Now that's not just written by people that have come up with it. It's very biblically founded. We'll look at that in a moment in Hebrews 3 and 4. The Sabbath is not done. It barely started. Thanks be to God that the Lord restores it, not only restores it, but He will elevate it above anything that we've ever known. It's not discontinued. It's only begun. We've only seen glimpses of it. We've only seen a glimpse of the restoration of paradise. That's where already this started. The very first week in the existence of this earth and of all mankind. Thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. See, then we'll begin to understand in verse 13, call the Sabbath my holy day a delight. And yeah, that happens on the Lord's Day, if indeed we're open for it and ready to find it, because those that seek shall find. Have you ever called the Sabbath and the Lord's Day a delight? Are you coming to church to meet with God? Or just to see each other again? Catch up? Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But God says, I'm here too. I want to catch up with you, and you can catch up with me. Yes, it's on the Lord's Day, but it spills over in the rest of the week. Puritans called the Lord's Day the marked day of the soul. In other words, you can buy and sell all kinds of stuff 6 days a week, but please, buy and sell on the Lord's Day for your soul. Just let all the other stuff just sink away for a moment. Focus on me. God says. And the only way you can do that, of course, is to focus on the Lord Jesus. Because apart from Him, we cannot come to the Father. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. The very breath that you and I breathe, we owe to Him. We have to remember that He's our Creator. And then, in addition to that, we're privileged to remember also as our Redeemer. Call the Sabbath day my holy day, a delight. So not only carries on through every day of our life, but also in all eternity. It's going to go from good to better to best. Old Testament was good. New Testament is better. But the best is still to come. Old Testament, creation, Daniel, Sabbath. The New Testament, redemption. And the Lord's Day, the final day, it will be the consummation of all this in a perfection that we have only begun to realize. And a delight that we've only begun to taste, if ever we did. And you have to examine yourself. Did you ever delight in the Lord? Hosanna! Doesn't mean praise God, but it means Lord, save us. They recognized Jesus to be their Savior. This is the day the Lord has made. We rejoice and are glad in it. Finally, the day of salvation has fully arrived. No, not yet fully. Still to come. As I said, it's better than the Old Testament. There's an expansion. There's a broadening of things, not narrowing. So we have to look at the day and the focus, and therefore, through that, to the delight. Because we really treasure what God is doing in this Bible from the beginning to end. You will see this unfold. Verse 14 says, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. So then what? Well, the previous verse. When you call the Sabbath a delight. So you want to delight yourself in the Lord, call the Sabbath day a delight. This is my holy day. To do it, and to do it rightly, and profit from it, is to focus on the Lord Himself. Really, that's of course the whole summary of the law. To love God above all and your neighbor as yourself. We're so foolish, we so have our wires crossed. But then again, we're not any different from Israel. Not the first one. That doesn't get it. I don't get it either, dear congregation. I'm very convicted standing here. Talk to you about it. I'll explain it in the class. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first. That doesn't mean first and then second and third. No, first means that foremost. Let that be your first and foremost goal in life. To seek Him. All other things will be added. As I said about the seeking of the soul's rest, your physical rest will come. Don't you worry about it. But if you seek your physical rest and delights in your own words, in your own ways, above that, you'll lose both. Because then these things will not be added to you, but taken away from you. By nature, this is impossible. But by grace, it is. But it still is hard. Because we do what we want and what we think, and we want it now. Let's be honest about it. How easy do you find to have delight in God? If ever. And that's what God calls us to. On finding delight in the Sabbath. Because it's my day, He says. So what God says here in His Word, you stop going what you think you need to do to find happiness. But start listening to what I say is the way. That's what He's doing. Psalm 37. Another beautiful text. I've often looked at it and tried to pursue it. Because it is the key. Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself also in the Lord. He shall give you the desires of your heart. Couldn't be more plain. It's very simple. You are made according to a blueprint, God says. And your blueprint works if you delight yourself in me. If not, it falls apart. The desires of our heart, the longings deep down, can only be satisfied in God Himself. That's just a fact. If you don't know that yet, you haven't pursued it perhaps. This is what God says. Delight yourself in the Lord. He shall give you the desires of your heart. In other words, that's where you'll find satisfaction, fulfillment, peace, rest, joy, contentment, and you name it. Out of that comes with gratitude a life of dedication. You can't do this by pulling yourself on your bootstraps. We all want happiness. I mean, who doesn't want happiness? But it's only found by coming to Jesus, observing Him, repenting of our sins, putting our trust in Him, following and imitating Him. It's my delight to do my Father's will. And only those that come to me will be able to understand what it is to look to Jesus and to be like Him. We all love to go to Jesus to get our sins forgiven. So that's taken care of. So back to regular work. Oh. Not only look to Jesus, to be saved by Jesus, but to become like Him. Holiness is happiness. And only to the degree that we have begun to live that way, have we begun to understand what happiness really is about. Delight. Jesus, if you read of Him, even though He was put to the cross, then He went about, in Acts 10, He went about doing good, doing well. He did what was right. He actually had the most happy life ever. Even though He was grieving, He was a man of sorrows, but that was because of the sin around Him. But the people didn't see that. And all they wanted is a body healed. They didn't care about God. They just want to be healthy. You see, to love is to serve, and to serve is to love God above all and a neighbor as yourself. Another text, Colossians 3:23. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. So even when you do things for other people, if you do it with the wrong motive, it will not do. As unto the Lord, whether you eat or drink, whatsoever you do. And that's also the purpose of Sabbath keeping. To bless us when we come to delight ourselves in Him, to be a blessing to others. For the glory of God, the good of our neighbor, and we benefit in the process. It's a win-win-win, I've said it before. And I know it's not easy. I noticed that last week, 2 weeks ago, when Pastor Niels was here in the afternoon, when he preached, and I had a hard time. I think, oh yeah, that's how hard it is to sit in the afternoon after a good dinner and listen. So I had to just poke myself, and I took a piece of paper out and started writing notes. Because I know if I wouldn't do anything, I would drowsy away. So it's hard to listen. I know, children too, it's not easy to listen to a sermon. But are we really trying? Even if you write down a few words, our youngest children would allow, we had them draw pictures, and if they would hear something as a picture, and they could talk about it afterwards. And listen, if you children, if you're listening, you don't understand something, you can ask your mom and dad afterwards, or your Sunday school teacher, or me. That's why we sometimes talk about after the sermon, aren't we? Because after all, we just heard from God. Do you believe it? That the Lord looks forward to see you come to Him? Can you imagine what a letdown that must be? If people sit in His presence, they act like my people. God says earlier in this chapter, in Jeremiah it's the same thing, Ezekiel the same thing. He sit before me as my people, but they don't really act like them. I delight to meet with them, but they do not delight to meet with me. They're drowsy. They're buying and selling. Thinking about what we did yesterday or what we're going to do tomorrow. How do we look at the Lord's Day? We say, I may not do this, I may not do... What about turning it all the way around? I say, I don't have to do all these things. I can just let my work lie and don't feel guilty. You cannot do that on Wednesday afternoon. Gotta be done. I don't feel like it. Gotta be done. Chores, children. Things have to be done. And on Sunday, you can just leave all the unnecessary stuff lie. thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. It's a day in the week I don't have to work. Free from my burdens. Can delight in God. He rested. He delighted Himself in the work of His hands, and so we join Him in creating us, in redeeming us. So, this day doesn't add a burden, it delivers us from the burden, physical and spiritual. Or should I say spiritual and physical? It doesn't matter, because I don't think, as what several people thought at some point in the Christian church, that they copied the ideas of the Greeks that the body somehow is bad and the spirit and the soul is good. It's not true. The body isn't bad. We made it bad because we sinned. But it was created good, and Jesus' body was perfect. Even though He was sick at times, but that's because of our sin. Jesus came to save us, soul and body. Even though our body will die in the grave, one day it will be raised incorruptible, and it will be joined with the soul, and it will be perfect delight for the people of God who sought Him now, and it will be perfect dread for those who did not, whether you have been in church or not. All of Israel was led out of Egypt, but not all of it entered into the promised land. Hebrews 1, 2, 3, and 4 set that before you, and that they do not only set that before us, but they also speak about that Sabbath. You see. And that Sabbath is not just doing nothing. That's what people think, that this kind of resting means doing nothing. That's not always rest. A change sometimes is as good as a rest. You know that. When you go on vacation, you're not going to sit down all the time. You do good things. You go for hikes. You do all kinds of things. That's resting. Your mind, your soul, your spirit. Resting is very active. The body part is very passive. I agree. But even that can be active sometimes. A good walk can invigorate you, mind and body. It's a day of action. Yes, a day of rest, but it's a day of action. Three things: piety, necessity, and mercy. Works of piety, works of necessity, and works of mercy. Jesus didn't deny the Sabbath when He healed people on the Sabbath, but He was doing that to show these Pharisees that they were not keeping the Sabbath in the right way, not to abolish the Sabbath, but abolish the wrong use of the Sabbath. That's why He healed people intentionally sometimes, about 6 or 7 times. In other words, you worship God, that's the works of piety. You celebrate, you focus on the Lord, but you also works of necessity. Certain things have to be done. I mean, you did a lot of stuff before you came here today. And at noon, there's going to be food made ready. It's works of necessity. On the farm, chores need to be done. The basic chores. You feed the animals, you milk them. But all the other stuff, you just leave alone. It can't happen tomorrow. It's fine. The world won't end if you do not do it today. But your soul might die. So works of piety, that's to worship. Works of necessity, things that have to be done. Like doctors and nurses and police officers, soldiers, they all have to work on every day. They take turns often. And the works of mercy. Visiting the lonely, the needy, the elderly, a sick person. It's a wonderful thing to do on the Lord's Day. That's exactly what the Lord was angry with them about. Because they did not do it. They were not only having bitter debates and angry things happening, but they were also not feeding the hungry. They would go piously to church and let somebody else starve. They weren't taking care of the orphans and the widows. How many times has the Lord rebuked His people for not taking care of widows and orphans? He says, you can say all you want about loving me and serving me, but if you do not take care of it, so works of mercy. Perfectly acceptable. There's so much good we can do. And if you then do, verse 10, and if you draw out your soul to the hungry, if you do these things and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity. Not going to be published on the street corners, it won't be on the front page of the paper. And thy darkness is the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy your soul. Make fat your bones, your soul, and your body. You'll benefit. You'll be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. If you do delight yourself in the Sabbath, not doing your pleasure on my holy day, but call the Sabbath to delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and honor Him. Not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. The same words as the 10 words, dabar in the Greek, in the Hebrew. My words, doing my words. All 10 of them. The congregation, they have to understand, it's not about do's and don'ts. It's not about making it hard on you, but it's paving the way to delight. You see, and I want to just close with these words about Hebrews 3 and 4. In Hebrews 3, verse 9, you know, it's all about entering God's rest, right? That's Hebrews 1, 2, 3, and 4 is about. And the Israelites are set before us as an example. Very clearly, the writer to the Hebrews several times repeated, let us not fail like they did. Give heed. And then he says in Hebrews 3, 4, verse 9, there remains yet a rest for the people of God. And in the Hebrew, or in the Greek original, the word there is not rest, but sabbatos, sabbatismos. Actually, the word that is really used not just for rest, but for a spiritual rest. There remains yet a rest for the people of God. There's something yet happening, and about to happen. There remains yet a rest or a sabbatismos for the people of God. As we move from creation Sabbath to redemption Sabbath into the eternal Sabbath. And then in verse 11 of Hebrews 4. So first talks about that rest that yet remains. And then this exhortation and encouragement. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Here, the writer to the Hebrews pulls the Old Testament example and sets it before us today. As they fail to enter the promised land, let us not be among them. Let's labor, it says, to enter into that rest. In other words, labor is pursue it with all your might, lest you and I fall after the same example of unbelief, to be left out. And that's been convicting me tremendously. Even to the extent, I've been assaulted this week to be among those that have said, "Call, have I not called upon your name? Have I not proclaimed your gospel?" And then to hear, "I never knew you." What was my motive? To preach. What's your motive? To come and listen. If it isn't the Lord Himself, it is not holding any ground, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now, this is not just to be a scary prospect, but it's what we miss out on it. It's not only what we will lose and what we will be dealt with. It is horrible that many of these people of Israel left Egypt but never entered into the promised land. What do we miss out on? See, that's what really makes it very plain. It says if you do these things, not only by not keeping the Sabbath, but also by keeping the day in the wrong way, what you lose out on, but also it says if you do these things, and if you do pursue and do repent and confess to the Lord, say, Lord, please forgive me all the times that I did it out of selfish motives. God says, if you call the Sabbath my holy day of delight, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. I will cause you to ride upon high places and feed you with the heritage of Jacob thy father. And God, as it were, seals it with an oath. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Amen.